is here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here, our number, 877-381-3811. Hello! 877-381-3811. Well, I didn't see all the debate. Obviously, the first hour we were on the air. But I saw what I saw, and then we went back and watched some of it. Right, Mr. Producer? And I missed, we did, in the third hour, some of the best part of it. Now, there's no question DeSantis won that debate. There's no question Haley came in last. Megyn Kelly has said the same thing. She looked like a deer in the headlights when DeSantis caught her repeatedly on lies, whether it was the bathroom and so forth, and gender changing. She's a lip. She's not even a rhino now. I've decided she's a lip. But that doesn't matter. Second was Vivek. And, of course, yeah, Chris Christie has a mental issue. He really does. He's slobbering all over the place. He's yelling. He's lecturing. If you don't agree with him, then obviously there's something wrong with you. He's very excited about the possibility that a rogue prosecutor and a rogue judge in a Democrat courtroom, that's what it'll be, might convict Donald Trump. He's very excited about that. He's a pig. I'm not talking about his looks. He's a pig. He's a torpedo. And I'm going to predict that at one point he's going to get out and back Haley. That his supporters and his donors are going to say, get out and back Haley. That's my guess. But we'll see what happens. Chris Christie couldn't get elected dog catcher in New Jersey today. I love when they say it's a parent's right to mutilate their child. Is it a parent's right to sleep with their child? Is it a parent's right to rape their child? Is it a parent's right to sell their child into slavery? And he pretends he's some kind of libertarian or capitalist or so. It's bizarre. He has no philosophy. He says it's Reagan. No, it's not. He's a Bush guy. It's Bush. Why wouldn't he say that? Bush hired him at Justice. Bush gave him the U.S. attorney's job. He doesn't even have loyalty to George W. Bush. He's a fraud and a phony and a freak. Now, I have to say this about Vivek Ramaswamy. He is entertaining as hell. Again, I want to make it clear, DeSantis was the winner. And not even close. He's got a record to run on. He's got a conservative record. He's got a common sense record. Nikki Haley does not. That's why she never brings up her record. Tim Scott had to bring up her record before. DeSantis has to bring up her record now. And then she lies. I never said that. It's on videotape, for crying out loud. Didn't we post it and play it, Mr. Producer? Yesterday. On the sex change stuff. I don't think there should be a law. I think, okay, why don't you stand up for your position? She's done the same thing with Communist China. She's done the same thing with these corporatists. She did the same thing with Disney. But then we have this guy, Langone. He's sitting there, one of the billionaires from Home Depot. Not the good one, like Bernie Marcus. The other one. Him and the other schlub that owns the Atlanta Falcons. Sitting there, you know. Yeah, yeah. I met with her, and she's the real deal. And I'm thinking about and throwing in and endorsing her. He's a rhino. Ken Marcus is a solid constitutional conservative. I don't know what the hell the guy is with the Atlanta Falcons. It doesn't much matter to me. Anyway, I thought this was pretty interesting. Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy at the debate yesterday. Cut 25. Go.
You do this at every debate.
I didn't interrupt you.
Okay, you say this. You do this. You do this at every debate. You go out on the stump and you say something. All of us see it on video. We confront you out on the debate stage. You say you didn't say it, and then you back away. And I want to say
what? Exactly what I said, Chris.
I'm not done yet.
Well, this is
now. Look,
this is nonsense. This man is spewing. This man is spewing nonsense.
Let me say something. This is the fourth debate. The fourth debate that you would be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America. So
right, let's stop there. Let's stop there. So this clown is always attacking Donald Trump for the way he speaks, or how he quote-unquote attacks people. But this guy is a hothead. And what you should notice from this is his temperament. He gets very angry very fast. You can't have that in the White House. And he's sanctimonious about it. Sanctimonious. He says the man he respects is Ronald Reagan. Would Ronald Reagan ever say that? Would he? He'd have a funny line or he'd say something and so forth and so on. Go ahead.
I want to say something else. We're now 25 minutes into this debate. And he has insulted Nikki Haley's basic intelligence, not her positions.
Oh, whatever you do, here he's coming to the defense of Nikki Haley. See, this is a scam. He's going to wind up backing her. He's questioned her intelligence. Oh, okay. Donald Trump's been called Hitler. You don't come to his defense. Donald Trump has been called Mussolini. You don't come to his defense. Donald Trump has been called Stalin. You don't come to his defense. Mussolini. You're rooting a bogus prosecution of Donald Trump. Oh, but don't question Nikki Haley's intelligence. Why not? Why not? Everything's okay when he attacks Donald Trump. Everything is on the table when he attacks Donald Trump. But when you deal with Nikki Haley, you got to have mittens on, you see. How dare you question her? Her intelligence. Why is that over the line? He can live or die with his comments. People will like him or they won't like them, but why can't he say that? Why can't he say that? Like, Chris, I think you're a moron. Mr. Producer sent a request for Nikki Haley to appear on our show, and Mr. Producer, open your microphone, please. You don't have one. Okay. But you showed it to me, and they said no. You reached out to Chris Christie's campaign for the 400th time, and they said no. And I'm sure all the media outlets will cover this. Ramaswamy contacts us from time to time. I put him on. DeSantis contacts us from time to time. I put him on. We actually contacted Christie's campaign. No, thank you. We contacted Haley's campaign. She's busy meeting with, you know, the Wall Street billionaires. Nah, she's a little too busy. Why? Go ahead.
Intelligence. She doesn't know regions. She wouldn't be able to find something on a map that his three-year-old could find. Look, if you want to disagree on issues, that's fine. And Nikki and I disagree on some issues.
What is this? What is he there for? I mean, seriously, folks, why is he there? He's not going to be president. He's not going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. It's not going to happen. He's not even going to come close. He may squeak out a victory in New Hampshire. I doubt it. But why does that matter? He's not running a nationwide campaign. He sits at the same diner, in the same cheeseburger, every day. Well, I don't know that, but it seems like that. So he's running for president of New Hampshire. But why is he there? And who's funding him? Democrats and billionaires. To go on there and do what? To trash Trump. He's a phony and a fraud candidate. That's what he is. And then he gets up there. I'm in charge here, don't you know? I'm the one in charge here. He's more like Jackie Gleason. I love Jackie Gleason, by the way. But he's Jackie Gleason in character, if you know what I mean. The character, the bus driver. He's a buffoon. He wants to engage Vivek Ramaswamy. He wants to get attention. I mean, he's on TV all the time. MSNBC, CNN, some of our hosts on Fox love the guy. He'll go anywhere. But what is he running? What is he doing? Trashing Trump. That's it. Trashing Ramaswamy. Why? Ramaswamy, I'm just being honest, he's not going anywhere, not even as a second-tier candidate. Because this is the only way, this is the only way he can get attention. Some level of relevance. But he's not relevant. Go ahead.
I'll tell you this. I've known her for 12 years, which is longer than he's even started to vote in a Republican primary. And while we disagree about some issues and we disagree about who should be president
of
the United States.
Every time this guy opens his mouth and methane escapes, you can see why Donald Trump's decision not to go on that stage was brilliant. Was brilliant. Not because he's a coward, but because he'd have to deal with this loudmouth blowhard. Why lower yourself to that level? This guy pretends he's highbrow. This guy was backed by Peggy Noonan, who thinks she's highbrow. Now, does he seem presidential to you, America? He's losing his mind on stage. Now, if he's going to support Nikki Haley, just support her. Notice he doesn't run on his record either. High taxes. Pension systems about to die. Massive regulations. People leaving New Jersey for where? Florida. He's destroyed that state, just like this guy Murphy's destroyed the state. All the Democrats destroyed the state. Look, my wonderful mother-in-law, her home is there. For a long, long time. And she has said often, if I could pick up this home and this property and move it elsewhere, I'd do it in 2 seconds. I go to the little towns in New Jersey. I go to the delis. I like the corned beef sandwiches. I go to little bagel shops. I like the bagels. There's nothing like restaurants in New Jersey, New York, and so on. But that said, you should hear what people say to me who recognize me. Blue-collar people, working-class people, they cannot stand Christie. Or Biden, for that matter. Go ahead.
Don't disagree on is this is a smart, accomplished woman. You should stop insulting
her. So I'm going to take this. I'm going to take several times over.
And there we go with number one, the wokeism. Number two, sort of the reverse misogyny. There's Chris Christie standing up for the woman. Really? That doesn't help Nikki Haley. If you want to be president of the United States, you got to stop this stuff about gender. You got to stand up for yourself and speak. And if you know Ramaswamy is going to come at you, you should be smart enough, and your staff should be smart enough to have answers, to have one-liners, to be prepared. You're debating. You've been a governor. You're a state legislator. You don't need Chris Christie to bull his way in. It doesn't help you. Chris Christie is kryptonite in the Republican Party. Chris Christie's not running to be president. He's running to destroy Donald Trump. That's why he's running. That's why he praises Jack Smith, the special prosecutor. That's why he praises Judge Chutkan indirectly. That's why he can't wait for a Democrat pro-Biden jury to be set, to be seated, and for Donald Trump, in one of the most horrendous abuses of power by any administration in American history, to get him convicted, you see. Go ahead.
We learned something from Chris Christie. We learned three things. Learned three things right there. First of all, Chris Christie also doesn't know what provinces in eastern Ukraine he actually wants us to fight for. Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah. So do everybody a favor. Just walk yourself off that stage, enjoy a nice meal, and get the hell out of this place.
I'm sorry. I think that so far that's the best line of the primary, don't you, Mr. Producer? Sounds like me. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here, folks, with essential information about a possible digital dollar and its impact on IRAs and 401ks. Educate yourself before a digital dollar comes with Augusta Precious Metals' Downside of the Digital Dollar Report. Created due to popular demand, this report is packed with important digital dollar insights. Best of all, it shares a strategy smart investors have used to hedge against economic uncertainties like the digital dollar. Act now to learn more with Augusta Precious Metals. Do it for your financial future. Receive the free Downside of the Digital Dollar Report today by texting Levin to 68592. That's L-E-V-I-N to 68592. Again, text Levin to 68592 or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Text date and message rates may apply. Performance varies. Consult your financial professionals before making investment decisions and get risk disclosures at AugustaPreciousMetals.com.
The irony is Nikki Haley was heaping praise on me when I wrote that book, but now I worry I was warning about the woke industrial complex in this country as a warning. Apparently, she read it as a how-to manual, she reads George Orwell's books as well. And so I think that that's actually far more dangerous than this is really important for people to understand. We're marching towards fascism under Biden. Jack Smith has subpoenaed every last retweet that someone has issued from Donald Trump in the year 2020. The only person more fascist than the Biden regime now is Nikki Haley, who thinks the government should identify every one of those individuals with an ID. That is not freedom. That is fascism, and she should come nowhere near the levers of power, let alone the White House.
Why am I enjoying this? I said, this guy is a stand-up comedian. He really is. He's sort of the Don Rickles of the Republican candidates. Now, I'm not voting for him. No question about that, but that doesn't mean I can't enjoy it. He's got Chris Christie turned inside out and upside down. That's very unattractive. Nikki Haley doesn't know how to deal with him. He's under her skin. The only one that knows how to deal with him is DeSantis, who kind of just blows him off. I'll be right back. Mark Levin here, folks, with essential information about a possible digital dollar and its impact on IRAs and 401ks. Educate yourself before a digital dollar comes with Augusta Precious Metals' Downside of the Digital Dollar Report. Created due to popular demand, this report is packed with important digital dollar insights. Best of all, it shares a strategy smart investors have used to hedge against economic uncertainties like the digital dollar. Act now to learn more with Augusta Precious Metals. Do it for your financial future. Receive the free Downside of the Digital Dollar Report today by texting Levin to 68592, that's L-E-V-I-N, to 68592. Again, text Levin to 68592 or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Text date and message rates may apply. Performance varies. Consult your financial professionals before making investment decisions and get risk disclosures at AugustaPreciousMetals.com.
Mark Levin, radio's principled patriot. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
Nihad Awad, the dipwad, he was at that meeting at the Marriott Hotel outside the Philadelphia airport in the 1990s that was wiretapped by the FBI. He was one of the senior Hamas mouthpieces that talked about setting up propaganda operations, funding propaganda operations, influencing our higher educational system, influencing the media, and that they needed to set up a group, which he would run. And they set up that group. It's called CAIR, C-A-I-R, which remarkably claims to be the largest Muslim civil rights group. Who voted them that? Nobody. They just make the claim and the media buys it hook, line, and sinker. CAIR, including this guy, Awad, if that is his name, A-hole is a better name. He's been all over the media for 30 years. He's worked with Democrats on Capitol Hill for 30 years. The red carpet's been laid out for him. The Obama White House. CAIR has worked with the FBI. CAIR works with the Biden regime. And it's a Hamas front group. And they lie all the time. Hey, boys at CAIR, you don't like what I'm saying? What are you going to do about it? I've told you before, Discovery's a bitch. I will personally depose every one of you punks. Yet every text, every phone message, every document, every anything that you have. Because it's only through litigation that that can be achieved. I have no standing to do it on my own. But obviously I have standing when I have to defend myself. I'm like a spider for these people. I've got my web all ready to go. But they keep their distance. Because they're cowards. This group, they put out statements. They have their own website. Check it out. CAIR.org, I think it is. They help organize these so-called protests in our streets. Can you imagine their phone logs? Who they call, who they talk to, which Democrats, which individuals overseas, what other organizations? Oh, my God. Could you imagine the treasure trove there, Mr. Producer? So CAIR is part of the Democrat Party. Really is, effectively. CAIR is part of the Democrat Party. They support Bernie Sanders. He supports them. They support Hakeem Jeffries. He supports them. Tlaib, of course, is an iconic figure to them. Because she's one of them. They put out a statement 4 days after the attack on October 7, saying something to the effect, well, we don't support any kind of, you know, rape or targeting kids, and sort of say, oh, yes, good CAIR. And, of course, the media swallow it all. Why? Because they want to. They know all about CAIR. If I know all about CAIR, they know all about CAIR. They know all about that lawsuit. That is the charges brought in the Holy Land Foundation case. They know what's on the wires, the FBI texts, they're public. They know about the funding streams in and out of Hamas and the Hamas funding network. They don't do any program on it. Jake Tapper, no. Will Blitzer, no. Joe Scarborough, no. Why not? Because they support them. They're part of the Democrat base. They've been active at Democrat conventions. They've had their way with the Democrat Party and vice versa. But now, thanks to this group Memory that I've told you about, memri.org, right, Mr. Producer? We have more information, and thanks to our friends at Right Scoop for putting it out there. Here's what Nihad Awad, CAIR director in the United States, CAIR, the Hamas front group, said at an event held by American Muslims for Palestine. Last month, and I am sure this will be played on the Sunday shows. Cut one, go.
The people of Gaza only decided to break the siege, the walls of the concentration camp on October 7th. And yes, I was happy to see people breaking the siege and throwing down the shackles of their own land and walk free into their lands that they were not allowed to walk in.
And by the way, notice the clapping seals. Free to walk into the land that belonged to them. Of course, 20 to 30,000 Palestinians who live in Gaza daily were coming into Israel to work. And I challenge anybody to show me where this Palestinian territory and Palestinian state existed. Pull out your Bible. Show me. Show me! Or when it ever existed. Show me! This is an entire fiction that's been created to prevent Jewish people from living on their indigenous lands. They're the only indigenous people who are treated this way. And they're treated this way by Obama and Biden, by Blinken and Sullivan, and the other a-holes. Go ahead.
The people of Gaza have the right to self-defense, have the right to defend themselves. And yes, Israel as an occupying power does not have that right to self-defense.
Hear this guy? He's an Islamo-Nazi. That's what he is. This is a guy that walks around on the halls at Capitol Hill. This is a guy that has attended hearings talking about Islamophobia and the like in America. This is a guy who works with the Democrat Party closely in the past, has worked with the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, who's had access to the Oval Office as the largest Muslim civil rights group in America. Who says? They say. Does it sound like a civil rights group to you? Occupied. Sounds like Bernie Sanders, that bastard. Cut two, go.
Gaza became the liberation source, the inspiration for people. Gaza transformed many minds around the world, including people who are not Muslim. What kind of faith these people have? They are thankful. They're not afraid. And Israel did not scare them because they knew that their heaven is in Gaza. And they
now stop. What he means by that, as an Islamist, their heaven is in Gaza. The Islamist cause, the Hamas cause, the terrorist cause of conquering the world, worldwide. That's the cause. Their heaven is in Gaza. You understand? Go ahead.
To die, they will go to another heaven. That is the faith of the people of Gaza. And that's why Gaza and the people of Gaza were able to transform everyone who's watching. They have learned from these people. And those who felt bad for Gaza, they don't understand the equation. Those who thought that the Gazans are less than those who can help them, they are...
You sound like an idiot, you Islamist. What are you rambling on about in your broken English? What the hell are you doing in America with your Hamas connections? We know who you are, you jerk. And now you've been caught again. You ratfink. Now you've been caught again. He's celebrating what happened on October 7th, folks. He's being applauded by these groups, whomever these Muslim groups are. American Muslims for Palestine. This is what's happened to our country. individuals like this exploit our freedom, use the corrupt Democrat Party media, are embraced by the Democrat Party that will look for votes anywhere. This is the enemy. Not because he's Muslim. He's an Islamist. That's why. We had Ennis Freedom on this program. What a beautiful man. Zudi Jasser, another fantastic man. Both Muslims. And there are many, many others, including in Israel. The Israeli Arabs, most of whom are Muslim, support Israel. But this slime ball crawling out from under his rock, celebrating the rape and murder of teenage girls, of senior citizen women, celebrating it while putting out propaganda in their statements. You know, we don't support this sort of thing. But when he's with people who share his ideology, his Islamicism, his true colors come out. His true colors come out. How is it that this CARE organization for 30 years, Paul Sperry has done more excellent writing on this than anybody over Real Clear Investigations. And I want to salute him. He's been dogged. In fact, Mr. Producer, even though we're running out of time this year, put him on the list. I want to bring him in. If he'll have us. This organization operates, exploits our country, exploits our freedom, our free speech, exploits our tax code. The Democrat Party embraces this part, this organization. Is Chuck Schumer going to hold a hearing about CARE? No! No, they're after the Federalist Society. They're after Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito and Neil Gorsuch. They don't have time to investigate CARE. Do they? Unbelievable. Sickening. But there you have it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here, folks, with essential information about a possible digital dollar and its impact on IRAs and 401ks. Educate yourself before a digital dollar comes with Augusta Precious Metals Downside of the Digital Dollar Report. Created due to popular demand, this report is packed with important digital dollar insights. Best of all, it shares a strategy smart investors have used to hedge against economic uncertainties like the digital dollar. Act now to learn more with Augusta Precious Metals. Do it for your financial future. Receive the free Downside of the Digital Dollar Report today by texting Levin to 68592. That's L-E-V-I-N to 68592. Again, text Levin to 68592 or go to AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Text date and message rates may apply. Performance varies. Consult your financial professionals before making investment decisions and get risk disclosures at AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Senator Mike Lee sent this to me. The title of this piece by Ramita Naval, "I don't know how many children I raped while working for the UN, quote unquote. Diddler Bouquet shifts in his seat and adjusts his red tie. He's finding it hard to recall how many children he raped when he was working for the United Nations in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2004. Quote, I would say about 20, maybe 25. I didn't count. He was earning $7,000 a month as head of logistics in the peacekeeping mission in Goma while getting locals to procure children for him. He had two assets that ensured children trusted him. He was white and he worked for the UN. He said the sex was consensual, but is unsure whether the children were afraid to say no. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. It could be. After the Congolese police arrested him, And the French authorities jailed him for 9 years in 2008. The UN made a public promise to help his victims. That promise was never kept, and it goes on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with Mike Lee. It's time to get out of the UN. It's time to defund the UN. This is a sickening rat's nest of genocidal and sexual maniacs. What the hell good does it do us? None. And kick those bastards out of New York and take the property and use it for something else. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I want to remind you that there are many ways to listen to this program. Really, the goal for a host, the goal for a broadcast company, whoever the host is or whatever the broadcast company is, to make it easy for you to get access to the program. We have made it very easy. Now, I would encourage you, I would ask you to write this down. You never know what's going to happen down the road, here or there. I'm not warning you about anything. I'm just saying it's wise to do this. You never have to say, where's Mark? What was that book called? Where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? We don't want to become Waldo. So I would encourage you to do the following. Go to marklevinshow.com. Click on Audio Rewind. It's at the top. Pick your favorite podcast platform. And you're set, should you ever need to move in that direction. Or go to your favorite podcast platform, Apple or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, etc. Search Mark Levin Show and subscribe for free. The podcast is 100% free. So that's the podcast. Now, you can also go to YouTube. I told you, we're ubiquitous. You can now find all my full podcasts, interviews, specials on YouTube. This is fairly new for us. You go to YouTube.com at Mark Levin Show. Hello! YouTube.com at Mark Levin, L-E-V-I-N Show. Or search Mark Levin Show on YouTube. It's that simple. I don't know, Mark. I don't know. That's okay. We're on every car in America, too. But I'm giving you options. I'm giving you options. You don't need to be a prisoner to any one format. Excuse me. You need to do what's convenient for you. So I've told you about the podcast. I've told you about YouTube. There is also, of course, streaming of the show. Mark Levin app. iHeartRadio app. Many, many ways to get to us. Of course, Sirius XM Satellite, really one of our great partners. And many, many means to listen to the program. We want to thank all of our loyal affiliates. All of them. Liz McGill is the president of the University of Pennsylvania. Now, there's a billionaire. They gave them, with conditions, a grant of $100 million. Did you see that, Mr. Producer? That's not chicken blank. $100 million over a period of time, and it had some conditions. And he said, you know what? I'm pulling it. I watched that spectacle the other day where you, Madam McGill, University of Pennsylvania president, you refused to condemn those promoting and protesting for the extermination of Jews. It's not just two-state solution. It is outright anti-Semitism. I can assure you, if it was any other minority, and I've said this before, African-Americans, transgender, whatever, it wouldn't be tolerated. But it is when it comes to Jews. Here's Liz McGill. So she puts out this video yesterday after her horrendous testimony under oath and tries to modify her position. And it's interesting when she talks about free speech and they all have their lines prepared for them for some ambulance chasing slip and fall lawyer told them what to say. If you go to the site and watch her video, they've blocked all comments. On Twitter, on X, they blocked all comments. We double-checked that just now, didn't we, Mr. Producer? So you can't comment. Oh, no, no, but I believe in free speech. None of them do. But anyway, let's listen to this. The president of University of Pennsylvania, which now is a disgraceful institution. Disgraceful. I went to the university down the street called Temple University. Tough university in a tough part of town, very tough part of town. I was accepted at a number of universities. Undergraduate, could go anywhere I wanted to. Law school, pretty much. But we couldn't afford all these Ivy League schools. So I applied to two schools. Temple Law School and Villanova Law School. And I got into both of them, of course. But I picked Temple for two reasons. It was more affordable and it was closer to where I lived. That simple. Because I'm of the school of thought that I don't care about a named university or these phony professors or anything else. In fact, I never thought I really needed to go to law school to be a lawyer. Kind of old school, you know, you work with a law firm, or you work with a lawyer, what have you, and you learn the trade. But of course, they did away with that. They've bureaucratized it and centralized it. They got the state involved in it. So in many ways, it really didn't matter to me where I went. Because I know what I know, and I know myself. Most of what I learn on my own. All right, that aside, University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill trying to fix what she broke. Cut three, go.
There was a moment during yesterday's congressional hearing on anti-Semitism when I was asked if a call for the genocide of Jewish people on our campus would violate our policies. In that moment, I was focused on our university's longstanding policies aligned with the U.S. Constitution, which say that speech alone is not punishable.
That's not what it says. That's not what it says. It's amazing to me. We have a government under the Biden administration of the Democrats that monitors our speech, that censors our speech, that promotes propaganda. We have a media that do the same thing. They have no respect for anybody's free speech but their own. Go ahead.
Was not focused on, but I should have been, the irrefutable fact that a call for genocide of Jewish people is a call for some of the most terrible violence human beings can perpetrate. It's evil, plain and simple. I want to be clear. A call for genocide of Jewish people is threatening, deeply so. It is intentionally meant to terrify a people who have been subjected to pogroms and hatred for centuries and were the victims of mass genocide in the Holocaust. In my view, it would be harassment or intimidation.
Oh, I see. So the Constitution changed overnight. We all knew this already. When you talk about exterminating Jews, you are threatening Jews. That's not free speech. You have a prosecutor in Washington, D.C., who's twisting facts into a pretzel, twisting the law into a pretzel with a judge who's going right along with him. They're trying to gag Donald Trump's free speech rights while he faces, at least if the government has its way, life in prison. And he's being told he can't speak. He can't criticize the prosecutor because people might threaten the prosecutor. And the legal analysts all over the media think this is fantastic. And we have two Obama judges and a Biden judge on an appellate panel who think this is okay. We have an Obama trial judge who issued the gag order. And the government wanted it to go further because Donald Trump is a threat to the government. Donald Trump is a threat to the special prosecutor in the FBI because he speaks, he texts, he puts statements on True Social. That has to be shut down, even though the man is in the middle of an election. Even though he's fighting for his life, for his freedom. But if you run around college campuses with other a-holes, and you talk about slaughtering Jews, you make references to slaughtering Jews, exterminating Jews. No, no, we can't gag that. That's free speech. As I said yesterday and every day before, no, it's not. That's not free speech. Is it Jake Tapper? Where is Jake Tapper? No, it's not. Oliver Wendell Holmes, fire in a theater. That's not protected, he says. Slaughtering Jews is, though, huh? Fire in a theater, no, that's not protected. Slaughtering Jews, that's protected. That's what they said yesterday. You can say it as much as you want, any way you want. There has to be action. You actually have to start slaughtering Jews for it to violate the First Amendment. Now, that is nuts. These are presidents of universities, top universities. Well, in Washington, D.C., three blocks from the National Archives, where one of the original copies of the Constitution sits, where one of the original copies of the Bill of Rights sits, we have a federal Obama judge, a federal Biden Department of Justice, two Obama appellate judges, one Biden appellate judge, a prosecutor who demands that Donald Trump be shut down, that he cannot speak, even though the prosecutor leaks to the media, wants to send Trump to prison for the rest of his life, where he's fighting literally for his life, for his freedom. You can't criticize the prosecutor. That may cause a problem. But the prosecutor can write any damn thing he wants and dress it up as a motion or dress it up as a brief. That's perfectly fine. Trump can't respond. Even in the middle of a presidential election, he has to listen to the Hindenburg, that slob, Chris Christie, go on and on and on. Very excited about it. But Trump, you need to be quiet. But our college campuses, exterminate the Jews. Gas the Jews. Hitler was right. From the river to the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not protected speech. Any more than threatening black people with lynching and talking about, quote unquote, the good old days 100 years ago. No, that's not free speech. That is encouraging people to take actions which torture people and slaughter people. It's not a fine line. It's a big red line. Go ahead.
For decades, under multiple Penn presidents and consistent with most universities, Penn's policies have been guided by the Constitution and the law. In today's world, where we are seeing signs of hate proliferating across our campus and our world in a way not seen in years, these policies need to be clarified and evaluated. Penn must
initiate. What were you waiting for? It's been going on for 2 months. You know what? I think we need to clarify these policies. We need to clarify them. Didn't you see the signs? Didn't you hear the threats? Weren't you watching the protests? University of Pennsylvania has been a hotbed. Harvard's a hotbed. University of Virginia is a hotbed. They're 200 colleges, hotbeds. They have law schools, most of them. They bring their lawyers in. Is this free speech? What can we do about it? No, they didn't. Now, 2 months later, you know, we have to evaluate our policies here. They need to be evaluated here. They need to be clarified. Is it amazing on these campuses where the Constitution is crapped all over, where it's viewed as a document that was written by white slave owners and therefore it's not to be embraced? Isn't it funny how they hide behind the Constitution? Isn't it? Go ahead.
Listen, careful look at our policies. And Provost Jackson and I will immediately convene a process to do so. As president, I'm committed to a safe,
too little, too late. You're on the record in front of hundreds of millions of people. It's a video that will exist for the rest of the time. Rest of time, rather. You and the other two who sat up there and put out BS. Sat up there and pretended you're protected by the First Amendment. What's going on here? You're shameful. And so are all these other damn presidents of these universities. You come out of these faculties. You come out of these Islamist, Marxist-loving faculties. That's who you are. That's why you're the president. That's how you move up the ladder in these sick, poisonous, cancerous colleges and universities that hate our country. I've said it 1,000 times. You hate America, you hate Israel. If you hate Israel, you hate America. If you love Hamas, you hate Israel and you hate America. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk has you covered for the holidays with a free Moto G5G phone. No gimmicks, no trade-in necessary. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gig data plan, just $35, and get the Moto G5G phone free. But here's the deal. You need to move fast because these phones are almost gone. So if your current phone is on life support, upgrade for free with Pure Talk. Enjoy 2-day battery life, an exceptional quad pixel camera, and a whole lot more. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, to get this exclusive offer and to select the plan that's right for your family. Remember, Pure Talk gives you America's most dependable 5G network at half the price. So make the switch today. Go to puretalk.com/Levin, that's /L-E-V-I-N, to claim your free Moto G5G phone with qualifying plan. Again, puretalk.com/Levin, Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless. In a case called Virginia versus Black, 2003, 538 U.S. 343, for those who check the Supreme Court reporter, the First Amendment does not give people the right to make direct personal threats of immediate violence. And this can include intimidating symbolic actions like burning a cross that are meant to make specific victims fear for their lives, even if the cross burners don't actually plan to carry through with the threat. That seems applicable, doesn't it, Mr. Producer? Yeah, I would think so. All these leftists talk about free speech. How do they defend hate speech crimes? How do they defend those? I'm just curious. There's more. Just to give you a little history. In Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire, 1942, the court said the First Amendment does not protect fighting words or statements that by their very utterance inflict injury or tend to incite an immediate breach. That was later amended by the court in 1992. Laws can't prohibit, you know, certain types of fighting words can be prohibited, like those based on racial bias. So the issue is, if you're going to threaten people or threaten a whole people, I told you about the case in 2003, the U.S. Supreme Court, telling people that you believe in what Hitler did, gassing them, exterminating them, chasing people, doing all these other things, certainly taken as a whole, would violate the First Amendment. I'll be right back. Pure Talk has you covered for the holidays with a free Moto G5G phone. No gimmicks, no trade-in necessary. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gig data plan, just $35, and get the Moto G5G phone free. But here's the deal. You need to move fast because these phones are almost gone. So if your current phone is on life support, upgrade for free with Pure Talk. Enjoy 2-day battery life, an exceptional quad pixel camera, and a whole lot more. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, to get this exclusive offer and to select the plan that's right for your family. Remember, Pure Talk gives you America's most dependable 5G network at half the price. So make the switch today. Go to puretalk.com/Levin, that's /L-E-V-I-N, to claim your free Moto G5G phone with qualifying plan. Again, puretalk.com/Levin, Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless.
Mark Levin, the research arm of conservative media. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Let me put a fine point on this, because you hear people like Sonny Hostin on The View. A lawyer who sounds like a putz. She has no idea what the hell she's talking about. Oh, but that's the law. That's the law. You really can't stop these things. She's a liar. Let me put a fine point on this. Let me go back to Virginia versus Black, the U.S. Supreme Court, 2003. The First Amendment does not give people the right to make direct, personal threats of immediate violence, including intimidating symbolic actions like burning a cross that are meant to make specific victims fear for their lives, even if the cross burners don't actually plan to carry through with the threat. How about chasing Jewish students into a library where they feel threatened with people banging on the door, yelling from the river to the sea, and they lock themselves in the library, and then they move to the attic? Is that free speech? No. How about students testifying under oath before Congress saying they are afraid to leave their dorms to go to their classroom? Is that free speech? No. How about students saying that they're Hillel? That their organization on campus has swastikas written on the walls or the door. Is that free speech? No. And I can go example by example by example by example. Don't get your constitutional information from The View or this slip and fall idiot Sutton or whatever the hell her name is. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. So put aside a burning cross. Assume people are carrying posters or flags with a swastika on it or are yelling mob-like 10, 20, 200 at a time surrounding a Jewish student, surrounding a Gentile student, trying to defend a Jewish student. That's not free speech. Intimidating individuals based on their faith, based on their religion. That's not free speech. That's what's going on our college campuses. Don't hand me the First Amendment. I'll hand it to you. And every damn lawyer listening to this program who's not a slip and fall ambulance chaser knows I'm right. Read the decision. I read it. That's the law of the land. And if these college professors are going to go up there and run, well, it's free speech. No, it's not. You have complaints being brought to you. Students don't feel safe, and they have reasons not to feel safe. They're being confronted in their dorms. They're being confronted in their classrooms. They can't even speak. They have to remove their Stars of David. They have to remove their yarmulkes. And God forbid if they're Orthodox and they wear the clothing of an Orthodox Jew, they can't show up for class. That's not free speech. Do not listen to these hucksters. And why do they go out of their way not only to twist the law and lie about the Supreme Court decisions, why do they go out of their way to even make these statements unless they're anti-Semites? Think about it. Now, these schools have law schools. Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, not MIT, but others. They have access to lawyers. Really good constitutional lawyers. I don't mean the American Criminal Liberties Union. I mean real good constitutional lawyers. Experts who would tell them exactly what I just told you. That's the Supreme Court. There's other Supreme Court decisions too, but this is the decision that relates directly to what's been taking place. This is the one. And Mr. Producer, why am I the only one who talks about it? It's amazing, isn't it? We're the legal analysts. Now, they may not be experts on the Constitution or the First Amendment, but they can read, can't they? They know how to look up Supreme Court decisions, don't they? All they have to do is put their face in the decision and read the damn thing. You are so misled by the American media and their phony experts and analysts. You are so misled by shows like The View. Contemptible shows like The View. Phonies and frauds all over the place. It's really grotesque. Now you know about the First Amendment. Now you know what you can't do. But none of you do it. They do it. I want to read you something that I posted this morning. I tell you to follow me on X. I can't say X. It's Twitter to me. It always will be Twitter. The real Bernie Sanders, enemy of free people everywhere. There are, in fact, anti-Semites who were born Jewish, but largely reject the Jewish faith and Jewish history. They view themselves as ethnic Jews, not Jews of faith. They tend to be radical leftists and Marxists. And keep in mind, Marxism rejects religion of any kind. And like all other Marxists of every background and ethnicity, they pray for and at a man-made centralized government where a relative handful of self-appointed masterminds, a.k.a. godlike figures, lowercase g, re-engineer society and as a result must re-engineer humanity in order to rule society and impose their ideology. Of course, the consequences include impoverishment, conformity, and the dehumanization of the individual. God knows how many dead people. Bernie Sanders is a shining example of what I'm talking about. And he's not alone. He hates both America and the state of Israel. He spent his life undermining and attacking American civil society, culture, history, the constitution of market capitalism, all of which must be destroyed if his ideology is to prevail. He trashes any Israeli government that does not capitulate to the demands of the Palestinian terrorists. The U.S. State Department, which is filled with anti-Semites, and the likes of a self-hater, New York Times columnist Thomas Friedman. And like them, and by the way, as an aside, they will continue their war against Netanyahu because he stands up to them. He stands up to them. And Bernie Sanders calls Netanyahu and that government racist and apartheid. He uses the language of the anti-Semites. He uses the language of the Palestinian terrorists. There's nothing racist about Likud and the religious parties. It's just that a Marxist like Bernie Sanders hates them. His faith is Marxism. And like them, Sanders insists that Israel carve itself up into indefensible pieces and gift their ancestral homeland to groups and people who want to slaughter them. Sanders has been a voice for some of the most dangerous and radical reprobates in the Middle East and around the world. In other words, Sanders is the Rashida Tlaib of the Senate, and he is a favorite among the most left-wing anti-Semitic organizations in our country. He's not an Islamist, but he's a Marxist, which means the objective of destroying Western civil society is the same objective. As I've said many times, people who hate the United States hate Israel and vice versa. And you can see this in our colleges, the media, and the streets today. And you can see with Bernie Sanders, tyranny's best friend in the United States Senate. And you can see it with a growing list of Democrat politicians and media figures. Never forget that for decades, Bernie Sanders has voiced sympathy or support for one repressive communist regime after another, one genocidal communist regime after another. He is a putrid old red. He's a putrid old man. He's a throwback. What kind of a schmuck has his honeymoon in Moscow? Moscow, back then, the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, which was imprisoning Jews. Bernie's a Jew, you know. Imprisoning Jews in the middle of the Cold War under Brezhnev. He says, you know what, honey, I have an idea for a great honeymoon. Where? Let's go to Moscow. Who does that? A Marxist punk like this fraud and fake. That's who does it. But you don't know the... We love the temperature, the Siberian temperature. Shut up, you. Democrat Party. This is who they are. Let's see here, Mr. Producer. What do you need me to do? What is it? Oh, yes. Well, let me do this here. My computer isn't working again, so I'm having to use my iPhone. Let's take a break now. We'll come right back.
Mark Levin.
Pure Talk has you covered for the holidays with a free Moto G5G phone. No gimmicks, no trade-in necessary. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gig data plan, just $35, and get the Moto G5G phone free. But here's the deal. You need to move fast because these phones are almost gone. So if your current phone is on life support, upgrade for free with Pure Talk. Enjoy 2-day battery life, an exceptional quad pixel camera, and a whole lot more. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, L-E-V-I-N, to get this exclusive offer and to select the plan that's right for your family. Remember, Pure Talk gives you America's most dependable 5G network at half the price. So make the switch today. Go to puretalk.com/Levin, that's /L-E-V-I-N, to claim your free Moto G5G phone with qualifying plan. Again, puretalk.com/Levin, Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless. All right, there's so much going on here. Let's see. We have a Daily Caller, great site. Massive left-wing dark money network spent $854 million in 2022, new documents reveal. You know, you never read reports like this about massive dark money efforts from Republican billionaires. Why is that? Why are they such cowards? Not all of them, but so many of them. I remember the great Richard Mellon Scaife, great man, out of Pittsburgh. His grandfather was Andrew Mellon. He didn't sit on his hundreds of millions or billions. He helped support conservative groups. He helped support libertarian groups. He was among the first to do it on a wide scale. A great patriot. A great American. I met him several times. A very decent man. He helped start a number of conservative legal groups. He helped start the Heritage Foundation. He gave support to one cause after another. And, of course, the Democrats tried to destroy him. The media tried to destroy him. They tried to smear him all the time because he was a Republican and a billionaire. And he wasn't afraid. He was a courageous man. We don't have that sort of thing with most Republican billionaires today. A couple of them, yes. But most of them, no. They don't want to deal with it. Well, they better learn how. The article says Tides, a group of affiliated nonprofits, spent massive sums funding liberal advocacy groups ranging from pro-abortion organizations to get out the vote efforts across the country in 2022. Almost $900 million. The Tides Foundation, responsible for the majority of grants dispersed by Tides, used a donation structure it pioneered to conceal the source of the cash it handed out. The Tides Network, marching in lockstep with similarly sized left-wing dark money groups. Dark money means they don't want you to know where the money comes from. Like the Arabella Advisors Network, poured hundreds of millions of dollars from totally untraceable sources into activism meant to sway the outcome of the election, one expert told the Daily Caller News Foundation. Hear this, Chris Christie? Hear this, Paul Ryan? No, you don't. Too stupid. A sprawling left-wing dark money operation spent over $850 million in 2022 on grants, according to newly released financial documents. Tides, a group of nonprofits, including the Tides Foundation, Tides Center, Tides Network, Tides Inc., and the Tides Two Rivers Fund, spent almost $250 million more in 2022 than it did in the previous year. And it goes on and on and on. Front groups, laundering money, concealing sources, pouring money into tax-exempt organizations, nonprofit organizations. Soros does it. All the radical left-wing Democrat billionaires do it. And this is what we're up against. And so Donald Trump says, when I become president, I'm going to get to the bottom of these things. Oh, he's Hitler. Oh, my God, he's Hitler. I'll be right back. In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Yo, yo, yo. Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I have a guest. You may have heard of this guy. His name is Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity, my dear friend, how are you, sir?
Mark Levin, the great one. God bless you. God bless America. Thank me. God bless us. I'm not sure. This is literally, I'm just getting this 2 minutes ago.
Yes.
We expect
is it an infection or a rash?
On TV and a, no, not about a rash. You can talk about your personal problems later.
Okay, got it.
Hunter Biden is about to get charged with 6 or 7 counts out in California.
See, this was something between us that Alan Dershowitz on my show had mentioned. The possibility that they cannot control what's going to happen in California.
This gets very deep. This gets deep because if you go back and you listen to the whistleblowers, they were the first to expose this. What was one of the things that they said? They said with certainty that David Weiss, who had been investigating this case for years, told them point blank that he did not have charging authority in other jurisdictions like D.C. and California. Now, that contradicted exactly what the Attorney General Merrick Garland said. So somebody wasn't telling the truth. Now, this guy, David Weiss, has all these years, he conveniently allows the Burisma years, that's the oil and gas giant, for people that may not know, that Hunter was being paid millions for, the same Hunter that admitted on Good Morning America that not one time, he had no experience in oil, gas, coal, or Ukraine, but he's getting paid millions to sit on a board. And that's when his father, of course, went to Ukraine, leveraged the $1 billion, got the prosecutor investigating Burisma fired. We found out that Hunter and Burisma executives were in Dubai. They talked to Joe Biden, then vice president. Now, this guy, David Weiss, allowed the statute of limitations on the money, taxes, likely not paid in those years, 2014 and 15, to lapse in the middle of an investigation. David Weiss, who then came out at first, didn't want to charge Hunter with anything. He wanted to bury it all. Then they came up with a clever idea, that sweetheart deal, until the judge in Delaware asked the prosecution, have you ever seen a deal like this before? And they had to admit, no, they never did, where he was getting no jail time, nothing. And that prosecutor, that one person, then that resulted in everything changing around. Because now the world was paying attention. And now all of a sudden they're going to be held accountable. And I'll tell you the worst part is, the guy David Weiss that wanted to get him off the hook in the beginning is the guy then later that gets the authority by being appointed special counsel by Merrick Garland. And meanwhile, this is the guy that let it all be swept under the rug and didn't want to charge him with anything. So I don't trust any of it. Now that it's in the jurisdictions that he said he wanted to go to but didn't have the authority to go to, that contradicted what Merrick Garland said, that he did have the authority, now those chickens are coming home to roost, so to speak.
And it's interesting with all these connections, and they're not implied, they're real, with Joe Biden, that they don't even open a criminal investigation of Joe Biden. This is the great cover-up right there. So even if Hunter Biden winds up at Sing Sing for the rest of his life, the fact of the matter is, they're going to say, look how objective we are. We went after a Biden. Joe Biden doesn't even face a criminal investigation. Hold on, the criminal charges, but you're not even a criminal investigation. This is exactly what the special counsel statute was written for, no?
Well, yes, you're right on all fronts, but you being the constitutional scholar that you are, you know you can't indict a sitting president. But you
doesn't
can't
matter. Hold on, let me explain
president.
That. And yet Donald Trump was under criminal investigation. And yet Richard Nixon was under, was under criminal investigation. So the issue of you can't indict a sitting president, that's not the Constitution. That's the interpretation of the Department of Justice under both parties. That said, we now know, thanks to the circuit court in Washington, D.C., we now know, thanks to Judge Chunkin, we now know, thanks to the Obama judges and the Biden judge, all in Washington, D.C., that you can investigate a president now, and then wait till he leaves office, and then charge him. That's the precedent that they've created with Donald Trump now. So the fact
Here's
of the matter
the problem
is...
Joe has.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So Joe Biden is at the heart of all of this. Joe Biden is a candidate and as a president, including, what, a day and a half ago, lied again and said he never was involved in his son or his brother's foreign business dealings. He originally said he never once spoke to any of them about any foreign business deals. Then that lie got debunked again and again and again. Devin Archer goes in, one of the top partners with Hunter, and he testifies.
Yeah,
no,
you're like
I
the Rain Man on
boat.
This stuff, aren't you?
I don't. You know
I
what?
Mean, you
I'm
know this stuff
loser.
In your
this
sleep. Let me.
Okay,
say something,
but Devin Archer
may,
goes
be...
in.
Yes.
And Devin Archer says, well, I was on the phone with Hunter, the foreign business partners.
Right.
And, you know, on at least 20 occasions, that's when that idiot Democratic Congressman Dan Goldman comes out and says they were probably just talking about the weather. Yeah, I doubt it. Here's what we know. Let me give you a quick snapshot here. Then we found pictures of Joe Biden meeting with Hunter's foreign business partners. One, the former first lady of Moscow, Elena Baturina. Two, the Kazakh oligarch, the guy that we believe wired the money for a brand new Porsche for Hunter. In the case of the Russian oligarch, Elena Baturina, She gave $3.5 million to one of the shell corporations described by James Comer, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. They found 20 shell corporations. We also have the pictures of Joe with business partners of Hunter, foreign business partners. So he's lied to the nation, and he lied again this week about it. So Peter Ducey, here's the problem that Joe has here, is that if you didn't do anything wrong, you don't lie, number one. Number two, we have Hunter on his own laptop, the one that was suppressed, the one that was censored prior to the 2020 election, implicating his own father. I have to give half my income to Pops. Oh, I have to pay for all of Pops' home repairs. Or Tony Bobulinski saying, you know, 10% was for the big guy. Everybody knew that the big guy was Joe Biden himself. So there, he implicates his own father in this. Uh-huh. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. And this is where your legal mind is going to help.
Yes.
Because if you look at the timeline, it was October of 2015 when it became official Obama administration policy after an interagency study on the country of Ukraine and corruption that they had made enough progress was their conclusion that they would give and grant $1 billion in loan guarantees. Let's fast forward. That's October 2015. Let's go to December of 2015. Joe Biden gets on the phone with his son, Hunter, who's with two Burisma executives. They're in Dubai. He's in Washington. It's 5 days before he's supposed to deliver $1 billion in loan guarantees to Ukraine. Okay, this was also at the time we know that Burisma desperately needed D.C. help. Now, D.C. help doesn't mean Hunter Biden. D.C. help, we all know, means Joe Biden. Okay, he goes 5 days later to Ukraine. While he's there, instead of just delivering the money, he leverages $1 billion taxpayer dollars, demands the firing of the prosecutor, a guy by the name of Viktor Shokin, who was investigating the corruption at Burisma. Hunter is sitting on the board, even though he has no experience, and at the time he's admitted to being a drug addict and an alcoholic, so I'm not sure what he could offer. And lo and behold, son of a bee, as Joe said, within 6 hours, they fired this guy, the prosecutor. Now, as a consequence of his official actions, the vice president, okay, Ukraine got the loan guarantee.
I'm going to have to take a break
without any conditions. But the last thing is, but Hunter got paid. He continued to get paid money. He benefited financially from his father's official actions as vice president. Mark, read the bribery statute. That's exactly 101 right out of that statute.
I'll tell you something where I disagree with a lot of you guys. The number one impeachment issue is his violation of the Constitution, faithfully executing the laws on immigration. He's violated multiple laws. The American people can understand that without getting into all the ins and outs of bank records. I'm not opposed to us using that, but this is a big deal when a president of the United States is purposely destroying the country, our border, allowing sex slavery to go on and everything else. I think people get that.
I have a question.
No, I want to finish.
Am I allowed to pick and choose what laws I want to obey or not?
Of course not. But I'm saying when you put together an impeachment, you got to have the strongest articles first. The articles the American people will understand. It's a constitutional process, but it's also a public process. Number two, on the student loans, he violated a Supreme Court ruling and he violated separation of powers. And he took money from the taxpayers and essentially gave it to people who vote for him. That is a clear separation of powers constitutional violation. So I would start with that. And then I would get into all the weeds about all the things you're talking about, which are very, very important. But it's going to be very difficult for Joe Biden and his lawyers to defend what he's done as a matter of policy. You don't even need depositions. You don't even need documents. All you need is the public record. Now, Sean Hannity, we're almost out of time. I want to give you the time you wanted and need to promote something that's very interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, I can hang on.
We'll be right back.
Mark Levin. We'll be right back.
I'm here with my buddy Sean Hannity. So, Sean, you have something very exciting going on that I want you to tell the public about.
You know, you're really nice to talk about this. So, one of the things that I've come to despise is Hollywood. I've come to despise the movies they make. And, you know, you might remember a number of years ago, we produced the film. I was very proud of it. It was called Let There Be Light. And it kind of had a good Christmas theme for it. Anyways, so some friends of mine came up with this idea to make a fun, family-friendly Christmas film that also kind of dealt with the issues that adults would get and understand and realize. And we call it, it's called Jingle Smells. It's right out of the Mark Levin handbook. It has stars from Saturday Night Live, Victoria Jackson, all people a lot of people that you would know, and special appearances from a bunch of other people. I have a cameo in it that I think was pretty fun. And, you know, what's really kind of different about this, and you look at this, it features a guy, a war veteran, forced to take a job with his dad, John Schneider, the actor. You know, quirky garbage men buddies hired to conduct a wild secret mission, destroying perfectly good toys by Christmas Eve. That's their mission. These popular toys pulled from the shelf after the film star, James Storm, you know, they're based on the fact that they're canceled. He's canceled for his patriotic views. So instead of destroying the toys, Nick takes on the secret identity known as Jingle Smells, and he sort of becomes a Robin Hood of the holidays and saves the day. Now, one of the things that we did very differently, we made it so that it would be as widely available as possible. We didn't want to deal with any companies or distributors or any, you know, we just wanted to put it out there. And so we partnered exclusively with Rumble. We released it on Thanksgiving Day. It has done phenomenally well. And what's happening is, you know, once people see it, you know, they tell their friends about it. And it's a type of movie for Christmas on a weekend, maybe this weekend. You can watch, you can laugh, you can relate to today's political situation with the woke world we live in, and you kind of have a new kind of a different, you know, spin on what Robin Hood is, and it's very cool. And I think you'll enjoy it.
It's very fun.
It's called Jingle Smells. It's very funny. It's got
so where do people go to see this?
It's simple. Just go on Rumble. That's it.
We're going to link to it.
Or you can go to the website,
Say it again. Jingle Smells.
Jinglesmells.movie, or just go look on Rumble and you'll find it there.
Perfect. And we're going to link to this. And I'm going to watch this over the weekend. It sounds great. Sean, you're a great friend.
But
you know,
it's
you're
official.
Like a brother.
Hunter's indicted, by the way. He just got
good.
Indicted.
Good. Well, he might enjoy prison. You never know. Yes.
You might.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself.
All right, my brother. Love you. All right, bye.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye. Is Claudia with us right now? Representative Claudia Tenney, how are you?
Great. Doing great.
Did you like that? The movie? Are you going to watch that movie?
Sure. I have a little time this weekend, but I'm really trying to dig into this Rob Malley stuff. I don't know.
All right.
My nieces.
They can watch it. All right, listen. I want you to tell us about this guy, Malley, who he is, what he did to us, the cover-up that's going on right now. You take it from here. You've been really digging into this.
Thank you so much, and thanks for highlighting this. Look, this is a guy who is very corrupt, went to school with Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, has been an Iran operative for many years, involved in all kinds of propaganda groups that he started, have been funded in or leading up to the original JCPOA or the Iran nuclear deal, you know, cultivating people who are and working with people who are against the interests of the Middle Eastern allies like Israel and others and propping up Iran to the point where they were finally able to get this Iran deal through. And obviously a disaster turned around by the Trump administration. And now where's this Rob Malley? He's right back in the middle of it. The Biden administration appointed him as our special envoy. He refused to come in person to the Foreign Affairs Committee. He could only do classified settings. And now we're finding out that he had his security clearance taken away from him, and he was put on leave for mishandling classified documents. And we don't know what's going on. I introduced an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act to reduce his pay to a dollar, because as far as we know, he's still getting paid, even though he's on leave, for misuse of these classified documents. But this is the kind of stuff that's going on in the Biden administration, and so little is talked about. There have been a couple of articles talking about this spy ring that he's operating in our Pentagon. So he's got a key operative, someone who he's been involved with for a long time. Her name is Ariana Tabatabi, and she is the chief of staff for the assistant secretary of special operations in our State Department. In our Pentagon, under Lloyd Austin, the SecDef, the Secretary of Defense. I mean, we have Iranian operatives promoting, protecting, and have run interference in the Iran propaganda machine directly with the Foreign Ministry of Iran in our Pentagon, and they're all cultivated by Rob Malley. And so I put forth a bill, and I want to see this happen. I put a bill in. It's called the Rob Malley Act, and it will require the administration to disclose to congressional committees, and at the request of a chairman, and I included ranking members so that we could get this either way, whether you're in the majority or not, on all information and evidence related to furloughed employees such as Rob Malley. And this will prevent the Biden administration from holding the truth behind the scenes right now, which is what they're doing. There's no legal requirement to disclose this now, but we want to make sure we can do this without
having to
hold
you over the break. I have to take a hard. This is outrageous. This cover-up. Let's call it what it is. The Biden administration, the State Department, Blinken and his boyhood buddy. This is a major league cover-up, and the media do not give a damn. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
We're with Claudia Tenney, who's a great congresswoman from New York. They tried to steal that seat from her. They tried to steal that election from her. I wouldn't want to tangle with her. She's one tough lady. Claudia Tenney, you're focused on this guy, Malley. Do we really know what Malley was doing with the Iranians? I mean, we have all these waivers that he and Blinken and Biden gave to the Iranians, helped to rearm them. They were trying to buy another kind of Obama nuclear deal. We don't even know the status of any efforts by this administration, if there are any efforts, to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. You point out his staffers. I mean, people are saying that this basically was, in many respects, a spy operation. I argue that. It's worse than Alger His case, given what's at stake here. Am I over the top, do you think? If you think so, you can say so.
Not at all. This is worse, because the biggest problem we have in the Middle East, with all of our potential that we had to have some kind of prosperity after the Abrahamic Accords, is all Iran. It is all Iran. And Rob Malley is an appeaser of this bloodthirsty regime that is sponsoring Hezbollah, Hamas, you name it. They are behind all of the disruption in the Middle East. They're disrupting our, you know, Saudi Arabia, who's an ally. They're disrupting everywhere they can. They're a huge country. And this guy has contacts in these people that he has cultivated in this propaganda machine and spy operation are actually, you know, conferring with the Iranian foreign ministry. And they're trying to get back to everything they can with this Iran nuclear deal. Very flawed deal. And I've been, turning everything I can do, whether it's submitting legislation, writing letters, alerting the media, the public, the administration, and condemning them, including the EU. The European Union is very complicit in a lot of this. They do nothing. They will not call the IRGC, the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, you know, a terrorist organization. They will not call them a terrorist organization. We're pushing everywhere, and the administration is lax. They're allowing these people in the inside. You've got John Kerry, who occupies half of the State Department right now, a former Secretary of State, who's pushing this deal. And one has to wonder, what do these people have, the Iranians, on people like Rob Malley, the administration, and why are they continuing to appease the largest state sponsor of terror in the Middle East, who is disrupting this situation and causing this horrendous situation in Israel. And it's just, it's really just, it confounds me why they don't do anything, or why they're allowing this to happen, and why the administration remains silent, and why the media says nothing other than the New York Post, you, especially in your social media and your shows, and very few limited conservative outlets. There was a Semaphore, the Tablet have talked about these suspicious emails implicating what's happening with Rob Malley. But this guy is a Hamas sympathizer.
Yep.
This guy has described Hamas as a group that we need to recognize. You know, another terrorist state in the Middle East. I mean, it's insane that our administration is continuing to allow this to happen while we have this catastrophe, this tragic, this absolutely bloodthirsty war going on against our greatest ally in the Middle East.
It is amazing because there's no other time in American history when an administration is actually funding our enemy. You know, it's one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's one thing. Neville Chamberlain, you know, a lot of people say he appeased Nazi Germany, but he didn't fund Nazi Germany. I mean, we actually have this administration goes in with Malley and Blinken lifting all, giving waivers for all these sanctions, including oil. We have them funding Hamas through the UN, UNRWA, which Trump had stopped. We have them funding Arafat's PLO directly, despite the fact that they reject the Taylor Force Act, which makes it illegal to give them money while they're trying to slaughter Israelis and Americans. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You know the whole history here. You have an administration, an American administration, a president of the United States, a secretary of state. This president is surrounded by all these Obama radical left-wing hacks that are funding our enemy, that are constantly threatening Israel while it's in the middle of the war, threatening to carve up it. What are we dealing with here, Congresswoman? What in the hell are we doing?
These people are completely corrupt. I mean, I'd like to say follow the money. There's got to be money involved. But look, when you're giving away and relenting on sanctions, $6 billion for hostages, you know what happens when you give money away for hostages? You get more hostages. The Iranian economic minister said, look, we'll take 1,000 hostages if that's what it takes to rebuild our economy. These people are in the hostage-taking business. They don't care about their own citizens. They're bloodthirsty. Look what they did to Mahsa Amini and all these people protesting against the government, knowing they were going to be killed or tortured. This regime in Iran has literally cut out the eyes of some of its people because they want to show that they're not beautiful people, that they're not intelligent people with talent. And I mean, this is the regime, this is the government that the Biden administration is supporting, is giving money to, is allowing them to continue to sell oil. We're talking about $80 billion in sanctions relief when it comes to releasing all those oil sanctions, you know, engineering the ability of hot oil coming out of Iran, meaning corrupt oil, being refined in countries that can be sold. I mean, these people are thugs. And the Biden administration is treating them as if they're a legitimate operation, a legitimate country, which they are not. And Rob Malley is behind this all the way. He kind of sits in the shadows. He's best friends with our Secretary of State, which is shameful. This guy needs to go. He needs to be imprisoned. He needs to be prosecuted for some kind of espionage if we can get to the information we need, which is why we have demanded, and there's some senators and some other members in the House who have demanded that we get the information we need on this guy, but nothing happens. They don't react to anything. They continue to allow this to happen. We have hostages held by Hamas, funded by Iran, in Israel, in this tragic situation that's unfolding. We have hostages around the country, around the world, that are being funded indirectly through Hamas, you know, through Iran and its proxies. And it's yet, why does the administration, we could actually have a step toward peace in the Middle East. We're heading there under the Trump administration. The Abraham Accords, Saudi Arabia on the edge of joining onto the Abraham Accords, trying to get involved to find peace in the Middle East, to try to work with us. Because guess what? They're a thorn in their side. We're trying to get, I'm going to be working pretty soon to try to get the government of Canada to name the Houthis as a terrorist organization, you know, threatening Saudi Arabia, threatening oil supplies, threatening and disrupting the entire Middle East. I mean, and the big problem in all of it, it's the number one, the common denominator in all of this is Iran. And yet this administration appeases this bloodthirsty regime that has no interest in peace, no interest in prosperity, and no interest in helping the people of this region finally come out of the disruption and the malaise they've been under for so many decades.
And of course, they're attacking our soldiers. They're attacking our soldiers, and this guy won't do a damn thing serious about it. How about that?
Well, this is personal to me. My son is actually a Marine, and he's moving up into active duty. He's in a deployable unit. I'm not sure what will happen or if he'll get deployed. But my heart goes out to everyone out there who has a son or daughter or relative that's serving our nation, and we're not getting protected by our own commander-in-chief while this, again, Iran-backed proxies are attacking our ships, are attacking American citizens, are killing them. We know we're just beginning to get the casualty list coming out of what happened in the attack on October 7th in Israel. And it's really shameful. I mean, it's actually, I don't know, you've been around maybe a little longer than I have, but I have never seen anything like this administration.
No.
This is a disgraceful administration on every level. But, you know, this foreign policy issue and what's happening and what could have been avoided, was avoided under the Trump administration. We're moving finally forward. It's really, I wish the media would focus on this. The Democrats need to come out of the cave, and they're ready to put this guy up as their nominee at the moment for president next year.
Yep, it's really quite frightening. And unfortunately, many in the Democrat Party, there may be some you can work with, but the vast majority are all in on this. They're just all in on this. And in the Senate, they don't even hold hearings. Chuck Schumer doesn't even want to look into this stuff. And for us to be funding Iran, go ahead.
No, you know, I mean, he's my senator, unfortunately.
Yes.
But Chuck Schumer is doing nothing about all of this anti-Semitism, about the situation in Iran. They do nothing in the Senate. All this work is being done by our very slim majority, fragile majority that we have in the House of Representatives. We are fighting hard, and often we get attacked by our own side. But nobody is shining the light on what's not happening in the Senate. We have a few senators who are standing up. We're the ones holding the hearings. We're the ones issuing the subpoenas. And we're the ones fighting the battle right now until we can get a hold of the majority, until we can stop this lawless administration from continuing to cause this, the world to be in just such a state of chaos at this point because of terrible policy, a feckless president promoting weakness, compromised by all of our enemies. His son, I just see there's breaking news that he's been indicted. You know, guess what? He should have been indicted a long time ago, but our corrupt IRS under Joe Biden allowed the statute of limitations to run on other, even larger tax liabilities. We just heard all about this in my Ways and Means Committee, where we had the whistleblowers come in again with more bombshell testimony about how corrupt Joe Biden is and the fact that he's still in charge, and we haven't been able to impeach and remove this guy from office, along with so many others in this administration that are doing harm to the American people and our allies every single day.
Well, God bless you. Keep up the good work. Keep in touch with us, Claudia Tenney of New York. We had a judge there who tried to take her election away from her, but she kept fighting. I remember we focused in on that, didn't we, Mr. Producer? And we'll have to keep watching your district because I'm sure they're going to target you because you're way too smart and patriotic. I want to thank you, Claudia
thank you.
Tenney.
Go ahead. We got redistricting coming up again. The Democrats sued to try to overturn the fair lines determined by a special master and approved by the Court of Appeals last year. We are going at it again because the Democrats cannot stop this power grab to try to take the majority away from us through New York over the voices and over the will of the New Yorkers who voted against the Democrats' actions on gerrymandering and redistricting.
Yeah, they don't believe in democracy.
You should know
they
about
really
that.
Don't.
It's huge.
Yes. All right. Take care of yourself. God bless.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet.
God bless.
I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
This show, where did this show go? It went so fast. You know, we had two great guests, but that means I can't finish what I wanted to start, Mr. Producer. That's okay. Very, very important that we get the right people on here. All right, let's see here. We have, what's next, Mr. Producer? Yes, this is an effort to delay so I can get to the damn list of folks. You have no idea what goes on here. None. Let's go to Nancy on the Levin app in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my hometown. Nancy, how are you?
Good. God bless you, Mark.
God bless you.
I have three generations in my family, including my father, who was a Holocaust survivor, went to University of Pennsylvania. And by the way, Liz McGill, she's a lawyer. by the way. She was a clerk, law clerk, to RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who, by the way, is a Jew.
We are
horrified. We're traumatized. We're afraid to go to that campus for any alumni situation. And so we want a demand for a refund of all of our tuition and all the student loans we paid supporting that racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic organization.
Mm-hmm. And if there are some good trial lawyers out there, and there are many, you should really consider this. I've talked about this. A lawsuit on behalf of a student or a class of students seeking a return of their tuition. And you have numerous claims that you could make about false advertising, about the failure to fulfill a implied contract. There are just 100 different ways to bring a lawsuit on behalf of these students against these universities. And I think that's going to be the way to deal with this, as well as Trump's executive order. You know, he's worse than Hitler. Trump's executive order, they gave standing to Jewish students to sue or to take on these universities, and the government to do the same where there are acts of anti-Semitism. I want to thank you for your call. I'm sorry your family members went through the hell that they went through. God bless you, my friend. We're on offense now. We're not going to take this stuff sitting down. This is the headquarters of those of us who believe in liberty. This is the headquarters of those of us who believe in the Constitution. This is the headquarters of those of us who believe the Democrat Party as an institution is an evil institution that hates America and hates Israel. This is the headquarters which we're going to push on every front possible against what they've done to our culture and our country and try and get it back. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, the freedom fighters all over the world, the men and women in Israel, we stand with you. The men and women in Ukraine, we stand with you. And most of all, we stand with each other. God bless you.